Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Oh my gosh, I'm so good. How are you?
Good. I just got my hair done yesterday, so I got to spend some time with Sammy, which makes me so happy.
Oh my gosh, I'm so jealous that she got to hang out with you.
Ugh, it was such a good day.
Did you do anything different with your hair?
When you have olive skin like Tammy and I, or Tammy, like Sammy and I, we had a discussion about this yesterday because we're both like kind of tan girls with light colored eyes. And we're in this murky place where it's like if you go too light, then you're just like you turn into like a Werther's original. Like you're just caramel everywhere. Your skin's caramel, your hair's caramel. But obviously we can't go. I mean, our hair will just my hair crumbles off if it gets too light. And then you don't want to be too dark. So I'm like in a really nice space where I'm like not a Werther's original, but I'm not too dark. It's nice.
Wow, I love that for you.
Yeah, I got some couple new little highlights, but nothing crazy. How are you?
I'm so good.
God.
Yeah.
I just like rushed in from, I didn't rush in from work, but I was just at work and like came home and I feel like I'm still on the very chatty.
On the chatty side.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Totally. I was at my nail appointment and I thought I was actually going to be late. So when you were like 2 minutes, I was like, sick. That's perfect.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it allowed me to get cozy. I where I get my nails done, it's like 15, 20 minutes from where I live. So I went over there. It's close to Sadie's house. So I jumped in her cold plunge for 5 minutes. And then I went straight to my nail appointment and I cannot get warm. I am still frozen, which I'm doing a 24-hour fast too. So I guess when you do a cold plunge when you fast, it like makes it harder. So I have just been shivering for the last 2 hours uncontrollably.
I don't know if I have it in me. I'm proud of you, but I'm like, it's like it's so cold outside already.
It's so cold outside.
And you're not eating, but your nails are pretty at least, I guess.
My nails are so pretty. I got a compliment on my hair as I was leaving the nail salon, even though it's so dirty. Yeah, so I'm doing great.
Yeah. Yeah. Just how far along are you in the fast?
I have about just under 5 hours left.
Oh, okay. So you're fine. You're not even hungry anymore.
Oh, I'm starving.
Okay. But it's not like painful or anything. Like,
no. And I'm just doing water. So, and Trevor was telling me to like break my fast with bone broth. And then I'm going to see how that, like, because there's also like a bone broth fast you can do. So I'm going to see how I feel after just breaking it with bone broth. And then I might continue it a little bit into tomorrow. So
it's so funny to hear you say that because I'm so used to vegetarian, Haley.
Isn't it weird?
I was like, wait, does she know that's meat?
Yeah. And then I was like,
I was like, when I was with you last, you were eating meat. Like it was crazy.
I know. I've like done a complete 180 and it's been the best thing I think I could have ever done.
Oh, good. Isn't it nice when you figure out, like, what your body actually wants to eat?
Totally. Couldn't agree more.
Good. Well,
yeah. Happy New Year. We haven't.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. To everyone listening.
Happy New Year to everyone listening. We haven't podcasted in a minute. I had a client ask me the other day. She's like, do you still do the podcast? And I was like, you know, we do. We just do what we want over here.
Yeah, like life keeps happening and we love podcasting, but it's just every time we're like, we're going to get back at it. So I feel like we should get back at it before we say like, hey, we're going to get back at it. But yeah, it's something again, I thoroughly enjoy. I want to continue doing. So yeah, we do still have it.
Yeah, no, I love it. And I, as much sometimes as I'm like, are we doing this in vain? Like, does anyone care? Then I look at like the analytics on our page and I'm like, no, people listen.
Yeah, they listen. I get a ton of DMs and I have a lot of people who are like, I just went back and was like listening to old episodes. And I just think that's so interesting and it's so cool because it can live forever. You know what I mean? So even if we got to a point where we were like, hey, like, let's just not do this anymore. It would still live there and it could still be a resource for, you know, stylists struggling. Of course, there'd be maybe some outdated information, but I don't know. I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
That it can just be there and hang out. And
it's cool too that even if it is outdated, I think it would be interesting as a stylist to, like, even just for entertainment, like, see how things were or see how things have evolved, like, quickly or slowly, or, you know.
Totally. I have to share some of the feedback that I got with you. Sure. On one of them. So we just we're in the process of bringing stylists into our January group. And
this is your coaching group?
Our coaching group, okay. Yeah. And one of the stylists that we have the privilege of working with, she was like, yeah, she was heavily involved with a brand of, you know, of extension training.
Is it a brand I know?
Yeah. I'll tell you about it later, but okay. I want to keep that, you know.
Yeah, keep going.
I want to respect her privacy. But she was telling me that she listened to our episode talking about, you know, do you need a brand behind you and like that kind of stuff. And she said the first time she tried to listen to it, she's like, I was not ready for that podcast. She was like, it was, I don't remember if she used the word triggering, but that was kind of what I took from what she was saying, was it was just, it was not the time for her to listen to it. And
because she just felt like she knew she didn't need a brand, but she wasn't ready to like walk away from a brand.
Yeah. She okay. was so deeply involved with it that, you know,
we've been there. Yeah.
Oh, totally. And that's what I was like, it's so different for everyone and that's okay. You know what I mean? I think you get to that point, and I don't know if everybody does it or what, but maybe, and maybe not, but you just get to this point where you're like, what am I doing this for? I just thought it was interesting. Cause then she was like, I'm ready for this now. Like the brand was great. It helped. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's a lot of people's story. Yep. You don't regret. Some people do. Some people regret partnering or being affiliated with a brand, and it helps get you to where you need, but then you realize like this has served its purpose and it's time to move on, and that's okay, you know?
Yeah. I think a lot of it too is that, I mean, most of these brands, like especially big brands or these hair extension businesses that have been around for a long time that do like a ton of marketing and education, whatever. I think, you know, they purposely like dig into our emotions. And so then we're almost like so emotionally attached to this story of us with them. It's almost like a messy relationship, but it's like the whole time they don't give a fuck. These people don't give a fuck. They don't care.
No.
You know, it's a business. It is what it is. But like, you know, they roped us in kind of for good or for bad, you know, emotionally. So it's like, you have to kind of grieve the fact that number one, you know, you got so emotionally tied into and kind of bamboozled by these brands, and they most likely, you know, just look at it as a business. And then you have to decide like, okay, I did learn something from this. Like, so like, what can I take away from this? Like, how can I help this experience help me make better choices in the future, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Because
our emotions are so big and they know that.
Totally. And I feel like it's also something that we go into not even necessarily feeling like, because I know for me, I was like, I'm just here for the education. Like, I'm here to learn what I need to learn and then I'm going to move on. And then, you know, it starts out so innocent where it's like you want support, you want help because you need that. I genuinely feel like when you are learning an intricate service like that, it's not the same thing as learning a color or seeing a foil placement. You need feedback. You need critique. You need somebody else who has known what they are doing a lot of times, right? It's at least really helpful. You may not need it to be successful, but I think it can help propel you forward faster.
You have and constant so you kind of, questions. Yeah.
You do. And you're like, is this normal? Is this, you know? And so when you, and when it's like, okay, this is what I'm getting. But I think the wild thing is it, you don't necessarily get that out of the initial training where it's like, and I get, you know, having other things that it's like, oh, hey, if you want to participate in XYZ, like it is going to cost this much. But to me, I'm like, if you have questions over the things you learn, you shouldn't have to invest more money to get those questions answered. You know what I mean? Like you've already paid for it. So
from my experience, you know who, that's an interesting point. You know who did a really good job with that? And yeah. I never used their method in real life. It was just kind of like I wanted to see what it was about. But from my experience, and I have no idea what other people experience with them. But I don't use the method, so I'm not promoting the method in any way. But when I took the LACED class, the hair extension class, other people my assistant at the time was taking it, she'd reached back out to, I think, some of the educators that were there or something. And actually, she got some, like, really good questions answered. Like, they weren't shitty at all.
That's so cool.
I know. And yeah, like, you know, keep in mind, I didn't love the method itself and its physical form. However, like, that does stick out in my memory that, like, it wasn't a big deal to be like, hey, what kind of string did you use or whatever. You know what I mean? It was like...
Totally.
Yeah, you paid and like you just missed this one little part, or like maybe you're stumbling across this thing. Like they were open to, now, you know, if you would be obnoxious about it and really take up someone's time, that's not fucking cool. But like if you have a couple questions here and there, like, yeah, I don't see what the big deal is. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But no, it's insane though how much of a big deal they do make it.
Well, and I think the way it's become problematic, at least from, and again, I'm not involved in any of this stuff anymore. So this is all what I hear from stylists in DMs, in conversations, that sort of thing.
Right.
I think it's the, like, promise of more later, like within the company, right? They hook you in and it's like there's this underlying or undertone of, oh, if you do XYZ, you get to move up higher inside of the company. But it's not just like a normal company that you can just get promoted into or get invited. It's like, no, you pay this and then you have the opportunity to pay another time to get
the opportunity.
The opportunity, right. I say that like as I'm rolling my eyes. You have the opportunity to pay this and then also then you achieve this higher status and then there's this like golden stage platform that you reach to that everybody else in the community is going to worship you like you're this hair extension goddess. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that is where it becomes wild. And so it's not the same thing, but I think there's some weird thing that was twisted at some point where it's like, no, I'm moving up in the company, where it's like, no, you're just paying more money.
It's like having a boyfriend that proposes to you and you're engaged for eternity. Like you're never going to get married to this man. He's going to use you and continue to have sex with you and show you off and do whatever. But it's like, at some point too, we as like stylists have to hold ourselves accountable too and be like, hey, you know, whether it's in a relationship or in business, like if I'm continuing to be promised things that I'm not getting, or if they're moving the finish line chronically, like what if I had to zoom out for myself, like what should I do as someone who has the choice to do something? In the same way, like if a dude keeps you engaged to him for 10 years, you can choose to be like, this isn't working for me. It doesn't seem like we're going to get married. I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
You know, like we have to hold ourselves accountable because as atrocious as these companies are, it's like, well, yeah, we don't have to be a part of it either.
Totally.
Especially if they continue to lie. Yeah. Or if they continue to manipulate or gaslight you into thinking like you need to work on something more, or you need to pay more money, or you need to be more involved in you know, whatever. It's just like,
right.
Common sense has to come into play at some point.
Absolutely. Well, and like, Hannah, the amount of free work. Bro. I wish.
Can you imagine?
No, I want to so badly just go out and be like, this company doesn't pay their educators. This company doesn't pay their educators. This company doesn't. Because it is actually insane how they rope you in on the education side of like making you quote unquote earn your title, right? Or like earn your role through free work, through not just free, like hours and hours, or traveling, or you know what I mean? Doing stuff just to quote unquote prove yourself. What in the world? And I say that having done it, I've been a part of it.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is this? How does this, how do you get to this point? And I know for myself how I got there, right? But, and it's going to be different for everybody, but.
How do you get to a point of being like roped in as an educator, you mean?
Well, yeah. And how you get to the point of being willing to like, oh, I'm willing to travel and like go do this like quote unquote cool, you know, thing where, and I want to be careful saying this because I have a ton of friends who are educators and I love supporting them. And if they ask me to be a part of something that they're building, I'm very excited to do those things. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Everybody has the experience. Well, not everybody, but educators know and understand the experience that they've had where they've been taken advantage of time and time again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's where it's, you just have to, if you have to trust yourself, right? You have to trust that like, ooh, this doesn't feel good. That feeling that you get that you try to squash down, at least for me, that's what it was, where I'm like, something's off here. And, but like, it's probably me, right? Like I was questioning myself more than the other party, because it's like, well, it's probably on me. You know what I mean? But mm-hmm. You have this like ick or this feeling that you're, I don't know, you're just trying to squash it and you're not listening to it, where you have to learn to trust yourself.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just think all of it is like,
it's all the same. I mean, even from my education experience, which ours are vastly different. Mine was for like an actual company, like a corporate company. And it's the same. It's like they literally, they prey on your interest in having some sort of like celebrity status, essentially with them, whether it's an individual or a company. And they know that you're just like kind of wanting your ego stroked, which is what I want. You know, I was like, I want to be someone within this, you know?
Yeah.
And they chose me. And it's like, no, I was just the dumb one who like could teach a class. But, you know, it's just like, I mean, but, you know, it did feel good. I did feel important. I did learn a lot through my experience. I actually learned a shit ton. I stayed in probably the nicest hotel I've ever stayed in my whole life the weekend that they like trained me to be an educator. But, you know, it's just at the end of the day, when I went out to actually do education for this company, I did maybe like three classes.
Yeah.
Thank God, whatever. I think my masculine business mind took over and was like, this doesn't fucking make any sense. Like, I spent 2 hours driving to this place. I spent, you know, all this time creating, you know, handouts, all this stuff. You do all this bullshit for when you do education, whether you do it for yourself or for a business or for one person. It's time consuming.
Yeah.
It's emotionally draining. It's physically draining. It's like taxing on you. And yeah, I was making like fucking $150 and like,
that's insane.
Yeah. It was so dumb. It's so dumb. And it was like, I see what they're doing here. They're hoping that the high I get from being this beloved and cherished and whatever educator is supplementing what they're not paying me in money. And I'm like, I don't fucking care about
that. Yeah. Like 100%. And Han, like, the thing is, you can do it by yourself. Like, you can make yourself, and you can charge so much more money to do it. Yeah. And that, but it, that's the harder route. That's the hard part, is like building up. If education is the direction you want to go, great. Figure out what you want to teach and start talking about it organically, right? But the brand, it is an ego stroke. And I think as stylists, at least for me, it's like, well, if I'm attached, if I have a brand, quote unquote, backing me, if I can say this is my work, this brand is what I'm doing, you feel like it gives you this credibility. Where I wish, like, not, I wouldn't change my journey. I wouldn't change it. If I could give advice, I think what I would do is like, great, learn from the brand. That's amazing. But you as the stylist are the prize. You are the thing that is what your client wants, right? The result you create is what your client wants. Yes. Is the brand great? Is their education great? Yes. But at the end of the day, it's a tool. It's no different than the shears you're using. You're not crediting your shears for how crisp your haircut is. True. You know what I mean?
Like, can you imagine?
No.
I mean, like, some people do. Like, some people who are, like, haircutters, it's like, yeah, I guess if they're tied to that brand. But it's like, bro, it's your hands. It's your, you know, time that you put in.
Your skill set. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. It's just – but it's like you can literally build and create all of what you are wanting from a brand. If that's the route you want to go, you just have to – it's all about positioning yourself. It's all about – who you're marketing to, how you're marketing, what you're talking about, what you're sharing. And then guess what? Before you know it, you're going to have people who want to learn from you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to have this big brand to do that. And I feel like we shit all over brands, and it's not,
no,
not meant to do that. It's just like,
I was about to say, to be fair, I got a lot of clients from taking part in a brand when I first started in extensions, mm-hmm. but I never hung my entire, like, I got wrapped up in it a little bit, but I saw what it was too. And I was like using, I feel like I used them as much as they used me in a way. And then when it wasn't necessary anymore, I was like, yeah, totally. Like, fuck this brand. Like, it's fine, you know, but I'm not going to say that I didn't get in the beginning of my extension career, that I didn't get clients from being associated or with a brand. But here's the thing about that. Anybody can say anything they want. So it's like, whether I had trained with them or not, anybody at that time could have been like, hashtag this brand. You know what I mean? Like, totally. They could have told clients, like, so I was smart enough to do training and be associated with this brand, but I also had good work, you know, like,
yeah.
So I don't know. I mean,
it's weird.
It's not necessary anymore. That's the thing too, is it's like, that was, you know, in 2016, 2017 extensions and like hand tied or B2F extensions were a completely different world. It didn't exist, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like I'm so far removed from it, right? Like,
me too, yeah.
We've been out of like that bubble for so long, and it could have changed drastically, but from the conversations that I am still having day in and day out, it hasn't. And it is heartbreaking because it took me years to get out of that mindset that I want a brand behind me. I need that for my career. Like, it was, I would say, only within the last couple of years where it's like, no, like, my clients, like, truly love me for me, and they don't, they just want to know that I'm continuing to learn new things and I'm investing back into myself so I can invest back into them when they're investing in me. That's what clients care about.
Yeah.
And it's easy to get caught up in the game, but it's shocking now being so far removed from it to see how many stylists are still struggling. And I think there has been a
Yeah, it
really
sucks.
great shift in the industry over the last couple of years where people are more aware of what's going on, they're more aware of what's happening. So I don't think it's as prevalent, but I think there's still a mindset shift and almost like I had somebody be like, I need help with cult deprogramming.
I was Haley, I thought of something while you were talking, if you don't mind me like
No,
sharing it.
interrupt, share away.
I was while you were talking, I was thinking for you, I'm gonna start with you specifically, but like this isn't all about you. Like I think about you. You have this as a person, you have this beautiful family construct. You have this beautiful family upbringing where, you know, you have you have a life surrounded from when you were born to now, surrounded by supportive, loving family, lots of siblings, great parents who are still together, grandparents. And so you learned that from a young age. Like you are very comfortable in a supportive family system, and you know who you are inside of that. And people find that in friend groups and, you know, in high school and college. People find that, I think, specifically in small towns or like church communities. And I think think a lot of us get used to functioning inside of these little communities that for no reason, you know, like it just is how our life has been. Like we've gotten used to this. We're someone within this group, and that's who we are. And we go along with the group because that's what we do. We've never really thought about it. And then, you know, if you want to even put that into like, think about a salon setting. Like if you're functioning in, whether it's a big salon or a small salon, it's like you get used to what's happening in that salon. Those characters that are, you know, in your space every day, the, you know, attitudes and mindsets of those people. And I think a lot of people, not, and it's not bad, it's not wrong, but I think a lot of people don't have time or haven't had the, just like the space to consider themselves as an like autonomous, like soul thing that if I wasn't a part of this salon, if I wasn't in this family, if I didn't have these specific friends that I, you know, like grew up with in high school or whatever, like who am I? Or like what do I like? Or what am I good at? Or like what do I bring to the table? What are my skills? And I think that a lot of people are just used to this programming. So like it rolls into these brands, it rolls into education, it rolls into salons, and then you don't realize that you get to learn about yourself, and you get to be a person that doesn't have to fit inside of these things if these things aren't working for you in your business. Does that, yeah, that like checks out, right?
Oh, yeah, it 100% checks out. I do think it can be a lot deeper for everyone, and
It has to be deep. Like there's no
yeah,
other
it
reason
is.
we would continue to act in these insane ways and waste so much money, you know, paying companies to not fucking help us or not being able to charge clients what we need to fucking pay our bills. Like it's so, I think it has to be so deep because like for a lot of people, it's all they know. They only know a unit.
Well, and I think people crave community.
Right. Like, yeah, yeah.
We are craving connection, and we crave connection with people who we are similar to, whether that's a similar interest, a similar belief, a similar whatever.
I think that's why it's confusing, too, because it's like there's nothing bad about anything. Like if you have a good family, like, your family's the shit, Haley. Like, of course, there's literally nothing bad about your family. But it's like, but you are also an adult who knows yourself and who you are inside of that family. Like, some people, they may not even have considered, like, who am I?
I agree, but I don't think I fully knew who I was even when I first went into extension education, like learning for myself, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Skill set. I think what my takeaways from extension education were, it was the first time I'd ever been exposed to the possibility of what could be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I don't know that I was craving the community or connection. I was craving more out of life, more for my personal life, more for my business. And then I was craving, I needed some back end support. Like, I wanted to make sure that I was doing, if I was going to be charging so much money for a service, that I was really, really good at it. And that's initially what it was for me. And I think through that, though, you make some amazing connections. Some of my best friendships are still to this day from those education programs. And it's like, those are the things that are priceless. Those are the things that, you know, you'd never go back and change. And you don't want to take it, you would never take it away. Cause it's like, I'm so appreciative that that was my experience, because I know a lot of stylists who are craving that kind of connection and that kind of friendship on the daily, and they're struggling. And so, again, I think it's like knowing that that's what you're going to these communities for, support, connection, like, great, create your own community where you can get the community feel that you want, people who feel the same way you do, people who view things the same way you do, or even don't view them the same way, but you can have an amazing discussion about your differences in views and differences in opinions. Like, but there's no reason that stylists can't go out and get the things for themselves that they're looking to these companies for.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think people, you know, you have to be vulnerable enough to start a DM group chat on Instagram or whatever with like three or four other stylists who, you know, maybe they're struggling or maybe it within that brand or whatever, and be like, hey guys, would you want to set up a Zoom where we could all kind of like toss ideas off each other? Or if you're close, like, do you guys want to meet up someday and have dinner or whatever? Like, and if it has to start with y'all just like talking shit or like venting about what it is, like, that's totally normal, because like it's almost like where that bond start, it can start, you know, but then like grow with each other and like, you know, mm-hmm. stay positive and really like really, really like be true to one another. Haley, we just got so lucky with our group of girls, because you know, it was COVID and everybody, we like had to reach out and like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what's going on in this state? Like, you know, can you guys go back to work? And then like, it kind of grew and expanded from there too. Once like the four of our friend group, like me, you, Shannon, Kristen, like all kind of stayed in touch, then it branched out more into our like big group of extension friends. But like, you know, it's okay if it's like you come together with like troubles, even, you know, like, and that's how you like are like, are you guys having problems with this? Like, I feel crazy or whatever. Like, somebody's having problems with it, whether it's a brand or a business thing or whatever. And like, we all feel drawn to certain people. So, you know, it's just not being scared to like call those people or text them or message them.
I think it feels vulnerable though.
Yeah. Know? Yeah.
Like, and when you feel alone in what you're doing, it's so hard because you're like, nobody's going to get this. But it's truly so powerful when you do reach out to somebody and they're like, I know exactly how you feel. And you're like, wait, what? Like,
well, and we all do hair, so we connect with people all day long. We know that no one's ever alone in their singular struggle. Like, there's no such thing. You know, we talk to people all day long and empathize with them and know that like everybody has the same 15 problems in their life. You know, they just look different.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah, it's just, it makes me happy to know that people are like talking about it and also like frustrated with kind of like a herd or cult mentality that has been pushed and like held up for so long. But I know there's still plenty of it that's like fucking thriving too, which is fine. You know, like
it's not going to go anywhere. Right.
And like, and it's good to learn from too. Like I've learned so much by almost being a part of a cult. Like, you know, like, I don't know. I would never ever want to not know the things that I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's fucking stressful and insane when you're in it.
It really, really is.
And also costly. Cults are very expensive.
Yeah. They are. It's wild. I don't know. The whole thing is like, it's just so interesting to to me to like watch and to observe. And that's what I'm loving about it. Not loving about it, but that's what I'm loving about where I'm at now. It's like, I really can just be an observer. I can relate because, you know, I've seen it. I've been a part of it. It's so hard. And then getting like removing yourself from it, you really are like, my business, there's a chance my business is going to fail because I don't have this behind me. And so I think there, and I don't know what it is, like, how does that line, like, how do you get to that point? And is it just because you're like, there is that secret hope of like, oh, if I do XYZ, I'm eventually going to get to this point. So then you become like attached for yourself. I don't know.
Attached for yourself, like to your business, you mean?
No, like to the brand, because it's like, okay, I came here to learn this thing. I learned it. Now I need support. So now I'm here. Now, okay, I'm like crushing it at what I'm doing. I'm really good. I have good results for my clients. The brand is starting to notice that. And then it's like, oh, hey, like if you continue investing, if you continue doing XYZ, there's a chance you're going to be an educator. There's a chance you're going to be a platform artist. There's a chance you're going to be the top of the world extension guru extraordinaire, like whatever that next level is. And so then you start working towards something a little bit different. Like, yes, it's about your clients, but it's like you also have this other thing that you start working towards. And then you realize you're still chasing it. You're still chasing it. And nothing is coming to fruition. Again, and this is tied in with all of that free work that you're doing with this either spoken promise of, hey, you'll get there eventually, or this like unspoken, well, if I work hard enough, they're going to see that. So you're chasing someone else's validation. You're chasing like a goalpost that could potentially continue to be moved. Or it's like, also it turns into kind of an MLM. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just too good to be true. Like, that's what people need to realize. It's just like, no one wants you to succeed except you, really. No one cares. Yeah. No one literally cares. Really? Like, I care about you, Haley, because you're a friend and I love you. And like, your success is obviously like, because it's important to you and you're my friend. Like, it's a byproduct of important to me, but it's like, my success is always going to be more important to me than anyone else's success. And that's how every single fucking human functions in this business space. So it's like, if you think for one second that, you know, if you choose to believe whatever somebody's saying to you about how invested they are in your success, it's like, be real with yourself.
Totally.
Like, be very real with yourself. Like, what's their motive? What are they getting out of you being successful besides using you as like a trophy wife of some sort, you know what I mean? And like really showing you off in a way, but it's like, they can find someone else who's you too. Like, they can find a new trophy wife, like a new, and they will. Like,
you're replaceable. You're super replaceable.
You're absolutely replaceable to these brands. Now, like, find a way to be not replaceable to your clients, like totally. The people who pay you. Cause these brands, like, they don't have interest in you. They don't have, they want you to be successful because that
makes them successful.
Reflection on them. But yeah. Like, if you're not, they will literally control alt delete you like it never happened and never look back.
Yeah.
And that's totally fine because that's how it works. But like, don't buy it. Don't get so invested into it that like, or if you are, you know, like start the grieving process of like, fuck, like I feel like an idiot, yeah. You know? And like, it was too good to be true. And like, what do I really want? I think it just preys on a lot of our like, it's like when you're a little girl and you're like, when I grow up, I want my wedding to be like this and my life's going to be like this and my husband's going to be this. And then you know, you get older and like things are different.
Yeah.
And it's not a fairy tale or a fantasy. And like, you get hurt by people or, you know, terrible things happen sometimes. And like, you can't control that. But like, you also know you're not a child anymore. So you understand, like, it's very childish to think you're going to grow up and have a fairy tale life. Like,
right.
Same way with your business. It's very kind of immature to sit around and think some brand is going to come whisk you off your feet and really just make you the successful celebrity stylist you want to be. It's like, no, bro.
Yeah.
And not to be cynical, because it's like, I don't really know how rewarding that would be anyways.
Totally agree. I think if I could give, again, like going back to like advice, like, so if a stylist is like, okay, I hear what you're saying, I don't want to get involved with a brand that way. Like, mm-hmm. But what can I do? Because I want to learn what they're teaching. I want to learn you. I like, go for it. Go learn what they have to share. Go yeah. Learn what you want to learn. You just have to go into it knowing there's going to be something else that they're going to want me to do. There's going to be, you know, like, it's not just going to be, here's the education and that's it. So it's like, you can go in and just get the education and be done. But then,
right.
And I think now there's so many avenues. There's so much education out there now, like with smaller individual stylists or, you know, small companies who are more about teaching you the, like, just different tips and tricks, right? Like, that you can utilize in no matter what extension method you're offering. So it's like, get your follow-up support there. You know what I mean? Like, great. Yeah. Go learn the brand. Go learn the thing that you want. But if you're looking for support, maybe go try to find that support elsewhere. And I know that's what's like crazy to be like, well, I paid for this. I want to get out what I can. But I don't know that that's going to be the best avenue to serve you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sometimes you have to also separate yourself from the emotional attachment you have to that money spent. Like in the business world, it's called a sunk cost.
Totally.
So it's like, you know, at some point you have to be like, fuck, I spent a lot of money on that. I was really hoping I was going to get this. And it's not that. It's not, I'm not going to be able to get that from the money I spent. I'm not going to be able to get support or get my questions answered. And instead of, you know, letting that anger or that bad feeling sit in you and make you pissed off and hateful, you know, you can detach your emotion from it and be like, that's what business is about. You sometimes, you know, successful businesses will be doing great for years and then they'll have to claim a loss when, you know, they literally don't make money some years. Like really, really big businesses lose money some years, and they lose money because of things like this, because they make a bad investment, you know, in something they thought was gonna pay off and it isn't. Just like we made a, you know, we just didn't know we paid a bunch of money or spent a bunch of time with this one brand and it's just fucking not going anywhere. And you just have to be able to be like, that is what business is. This is a sunk cost. This is something, you know, it's like a wrecked ship that you just have to like let sink to the bottom of the ocean and just keep swimming. Like it's, you know, you're not gonna put it back together and make it a functional ship again. It's just like, you got to keep going.
Well, and I think too, like, and it's all about your perspective and your mindset, because you can learn any lesson from a good investment or a bad investment, right? And so to me, I know I've made a few bad investments and it's like, okay, I now know how I would never want to treat people. I now know how I wouldn't want somebody to feel coming into anything that I'm doing, whether that's an in-person class, whether that's a virtual class, or no matter what it is, I now know that I want to create anything that I want to create. I want to create and give whoever is attending the opportunity to be successful without me, because that to me is the ultimate win inside of education. When your students or whoever you're educating can move on and say, you know what, thank you so much for that. I don't need you anymore. It's time for me to fly on my own. Or like the principles that you taught me, the things I learned from you, I will be able to take and do over and over and over the next time I need a price increase, the next time I do this, or like that tiny little way you did your comb on that section. Like I will now do that in every extension install, or how you held your hand while you put that bead on, like that stitch you taught me. Those are the things that's like, I want you to take that away, but I don't want you to need me to say, hey, you did a great job. I want you to be able to give that to yourself. And I think that is what is missing from a lot of these brands' education. It's like, they want you to continually need them. They want you to continually depend on them. And it just turns into this like money hungry.
It's just gross. It's And one, Haley, your business is a reflection of you, which is a healthy person. Like you are a you're not well-rounded like in every aspect. No one is, but you are a genuinely grounded, emotionally healthy person. So you understand that it's not only insane for you to take money from people that are going to be needy to you for the rest of their career. It's not, it doesn't appeal to you, Haley, because you don't want people being needy to you for the rest of their career, because a healthy person doesn't crave those codependent minions to, you know, like attach like barnacles onto the bottom of them emotionally. You know, like I don't want needy people around, because I'm not a needy person, because like I work hard to fulfill myself and to ask myself questions and to like heal myself in ways so that, you know, I can be a more of a help to other people than I am like a burden. But like, I think these brands, a lot of times, whether they're small, big, whatever, they are not formed or run by emotionally, spiritually, physically healthy people. So they have absolutely no problem, or like maybe no even understanding of the unhealthy business they're creating and the like the kind of psychological preying that they're doing on people, which is all that they're, you know what I mean? It's just, it's just like a sick psychological thing where they are happy finding kind of wounded animals of people and being like, I can help you, you know, when they know they can't.
Totally.
And not to be like super like fucking dark, but that's what it is. You know, it's like,
yeah,
you don't want people to be needy to you because like that a healthy person doesn't want that. Like,
yeah,
you want people who are already healthy that crave knowledge and want to grow their business to be able to learn from you and then move on because that feels good to you. And that's what you have in relationships. That's what you have in your family. And the same thing for me. It's like, I don't want red flag people surrounding me. Yeah. So I'm not going to be a red flag, you know?
Totally. Yeah. And it's, I don't know that you go into an education. Extension education is just so different than color. Like color, you just go, you learn the thing, you do it, you go home and that's it. Where, and I think there are educators who are creating that with extension education.
Yeah.
So I think, again, I think a page has turned and it's so amazing. It's so refreshing to see. Again, we're not shitting all over education, educators. We really are not. It's just.
And there's good and bad parts to even like the worst of these education companies. You know, like totally. There's good insight. There's good technique. There's good information in this. But, you know, it's like there's a lot of harmful stuff you're going to encounter too.
Totally. Totally. So I feel like.
God, I feel like such a Debbie Downer, but I mean, it just is what it is. I feel like I'm just...
Well, I think it's been like this for so long, and everyone's tired of it. Everyone is so done. And I think there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and people are starting to see it. But again, it's just so shocking to see the people that are still struggling. And so it's like... There are other options outside of that big education or that big brand that looks like everybody inside of it is thriving and they're crushing it. And maybe they are to an extent, but it's like there's so much more to it where you can get amazing education from either independent educators. There's a lot of amazing online education now. There's amazing education just on Instagram.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I've learned so much stuff. Even, I mean, you know, like I have a great like fucking business I love. Like I literally love my clients and I love the way my business functions now. But like I still will look at hair stuff, you know, extension stuff, or it'll pop up on my Instagram. Dude, I've learned so much in the past like 1 or 2 years with just like random people I've never even heard of being like, this is how I stitch my fold over edge on like the top row of this client's extensions. And I'm like, damn, like I never thought of that. But it's like, I don't even know who these people are.
Right.
I'm just like, good for them. And that's, yeah, you're absolutely right. You don't have to, do you think people like self-sabotaging because it means they can like put off being something they're like scared of? Like, I almost think people want to get wrapped up in the like big brands sometimes, or like, I have to fly and take this education and stay in this hotel and have this meet and greet with this educator. And like that, I used to be like that in ways where I almost enjoyed doing this song and dance because it meant like I could push off like succeeding or doing the work longer. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's a part of that, right? I think. Right. I just think that. I don't know. I don't even know what train of thought I'm trying to form right now.
I have to tell you something really quick while you...
Tell me.
When you earlier were, like, talking about, like, we've all made bad investments, I legitimately had a flash in my mind of my Amazon purchases, and I was like, I've made a lot of bad investments. Like, if you looked at my Amazon purchases, like, I've purchased things that are... So this has nothing to do with anything, but like it just, I was like, we all make bad investments all the time. Like,
totally.
It's just so funny that like there's little bad investments. Like, do I need like a pair of like smiley face slippers from Amazon? Like, I don't know, probably not. But like, I mean, maybe I do, but like, there's little bad investments and then there's like big bad investments. When you said that, I don't know why. I was just like, oh, we all do it. But,
totally.
You know, the point is to not make the big bad investments in like your business and to really like, you know, spend time thinking about it and like take it more serious. I don't know why. That was just so funny to me.
Yeah. I think it's like, it's true though. Cause it's like, there's just different scales of it. Obviously right. The bigger investments hurt more. But again, it's like you have an amazing lesson at minimum to take away. But I think there's
we're all so humans just making the same mistakes. It's just like
over and over.
You know.
Yeah.
Say what?
I said over and over. We're just making the same mistakes over and over.
Yeah, but yeah, when it comes to like what we were saying, education, it's like, okay, if this investment in education is continuously not paying off, you know, like it's time then to be like, okay, either sometimes you can just stop too. I think a lot of times people don't realize like one of the best things I ever did was like get real with myself about the fact that I was fucking manically scrambling for the next thing to invest in, like education wise, to like take me to the place I needed to be. And I was like, I'm being a psychopath right now. Like, I don't need any more education at this moment. I actually am putting off like growing my business because I'm wasting time looking for more education. Like, I have to pause. I have to put a pause on this. And it was the best thing and one of the hardest things I had to do in my business, because I think we're also used to scrambling for and feeling like we're going to fall behind if we don't do the next thing, and instead of like implementing what we have fucking learned.
Absolutely. I think that like constant chase for education, I do think there's a fear of like,
it's an addiction cycle. If you think about it, I mean, it really is like, it's an addiction because you are getting a high when you take more education and you're feeling really like revved up and like good. But like when you come down back to real life, back to your clientele, back to your business, like you are so incredibly uncomfortable that you have to go find the next high.
I agree. And I think there's a part of it is that like almost that fear of success, because it does become addicting. I have to do the next thing. I have to do the next thing. But you're not taking the time to do the thing that you just learned, to even get good at the thing you just learned. So you're not even giving it a fighting chance to figure out, okay, does this work for me in my business or does it not work for me in my business? Because there's just this constant chase for more. And so you almost are over educating yourself, but you're under implementing. And business is about implementation. Business is about taking action, right, on the things that you have learned. So it's like we do ourselves this huge disservice, I think, a lot of times by constantly chasing. And companies do a great job of like that FOMO marketing, like don't miss out, like blah 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 blah. And it's strategy on their end. You know what I mean? I get why they do it, but it keeps the stylist like constantly running after the next best thing. When a lot of times the next best thing is sitting down inside of your business and figuring out what's working, what's not working, what education have I taken that I haven't implemented yet? And how can I start incorporating that into my business now? You know, so I think one of the best things I ever did was pausing on investing into hair education, right? Like I legit was like, I have to pause here because there are so many things I've taken in and so many things I still need to implement that I'm not going to do. But I also, and like to kind of come back around to what we were talking about a little bit earlier, you are going to get to a point, and I think we both reached this point where you realize like this education is no longer serving me. And you'll realize that when you start getting, like for me, I knew I was in the education when I was supposed to be, when I was so excited for the calls. I was like showing up at every call. I was like, getting all of the knowledge. I'm taking pages and pages of notes. And then as time went on, and maybe the education changed a little bit, the structure changed, or maybe it didn't at all, but maybe I had changed. I had learned the things that I was supposed to learn in that moment, and the education was continually circling back to the beginning, which, again, understandably, if there's new stylists being funneled in all of the time, but it's like I had to realize my time here is done. Like this specific company, this specific person, this specific education, it served its purpose for me, but it is no longer applicable for what I need. If I want to grow to a different level, I'm going to have to find education at a different level. And that might be you're involved in the education and maybe it's time to be done, right? Like you came in and you were maybe a baby. And I don't mean like maybe you've been in the industry for a long time, but in that specific thing that you're learning, you're a baby stylist there. And then you're in the education for, who knows, 6 weeks, 12 weeks, 6 months, a year, whatever. And in the beginning, it's like you're hanging on the educator's every word and you're obsessed with everything that they're saying. But then as time goes on, you're not as invested. You are missing calls. You're missing whatever that looks like. And then over time, you're just like, this isn't serving its purpose. And I think where a lot of stylists go wrong is it doesn't register to them that that's a sign of their growth. They get pissed at the education company because it's like, I'm not getting out of this what I used to get out of it. And that's almost a good thing. It's almost a good thing because it's like, that means you're growing, right? And your time here with this education may be done. And if you want to continue growing, you might need to seek a different kind of mentor, a different kind of education. And it might be outside of the hair industry, who knows? But all good things, I truly do believe, especially in education, right? Like they do come to an end. And it's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean that the education was terrible. It served its purpose for you at the time you needed it. And you have to have that wherewithal and the self-awareness to say, maybe it's not the education, maybe it's me. I've gotten what I was supposed to get and it's time for me to move on. And so I think there is a part of that too that happens in education where you almost stay longer than you're welcomed. You know what I mean? Where it's like you've worn out, what's that saying? You've worn out your welcome. Is that the same?
Yeah, I think so.
So I don't know. And I think it just, you have to have that self-awareness. You have to realize like, oh, these things that used to be like earth-shattering knowledge bombs are now my second nature thoughts.
Like, yeah, it's like being in seventh grade for 3 years in a row and wondering like why you're not learning more. And it's like, well, bro, you're still in seventh grade. Like, haven't you noticed there's new people that have come in, you know, and like they're obviously taking like it's like going to a tumbling class and learning how to do your cartwheel, and then everyone else, you know, moves on to learn how to do back handsprings, and you're like, I mean, I've just learned how to do my cartwheel, and like new people are learning this, and I see them learning things, and like I'm not learning anything new. It's like, well, yeah, you have to move on to the next level.
Totally. Like,
and brands don't necessarily, even though they want you to think they're God and they're answering all your prayers and dreams, it's like they're not every level of the game. Every brand is not every level. Sometimes you have to literally have a change of scenery, have a change of pace, have a change of, you know, people surrounding you, and like move yourself into the next level. Like, they're not going to do that. They like your money. They're going to keep you there and simple as long as possibly, you know, able to.
Totally.
Well, it's not their job to look out for you either. Like, it's your job.
You have to do that. And
they make you think, though. They really do a good job. These maniacs do a good job of being like, we love you. We are here to support you. We want you to be so successful, sis. This is a big family. Like, and it's just like, no, you don't know these people. Just learn. And then when you're like you've learned what you've learned, be like, I think I'm good here. And if you like those people and if you like make connections, that's fine. And they should still be friends with you or whatever afterwards. But it's like, you have, like, it's a lot of it is just our tendencies. I think as women, as obviously there's men in this space too, but like mostly women, I think it's our tendencies as women to like see the best in things and to want to believe that people are good people and to like really, like I was saying before, kind of like play into this fantasy life that we want to have about what our business is going to be and who we're going to be. And it's like, you have to like not let yourself fall victim to that, because that's like your own, like, it's kind of you just getting in your way by not being like, and I mean, I did it forever too, but like by not being not realistic, because, you know, it's good to dream, obviously, and to have like goals and things to think about, things that aren't yet like tangible things.
Yeah.
But to not let somebody mislead you to the point where like your happiness or your inspiration is like dependent on them.
Absolutely.
And that it's hard because like it, we, you know, we do it all day on Instagram and all the things, like we get little hits of like happiness and joy and like laughter and inspiration. But like that should be like kind of our entertainment, or like maybe it should be like seasoning to our meal. That like can't be like the whole meal, you know, like you kind of gotta steer your own stuff, or you have to have a solid business before you start getting inspired by others' business.
Totally.
And I guess you don't have to have like you have to have an idea of like where you actually want to go in your business and who you are and like what your goals are before you start looking for, you know, inspiration or like brands to kind of help you.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
Yeah.
We could both talk about this forever, I feel like.
Yeah. And again, like, I feel like we just have such a different perspective being on, having been in it and now being on the other side of it. And we would both tell you, we're so thankful. I'm so thankful for my education journey. I'm so thankful for every piece that I went through. There have been times I wouldn't necessarily say that because it was really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Especially on the education side of it, being involved with a brand that way. But on the other side of it, I learned so much about myself, with which overall was the lesson that I needed to learn. Did I have to spend thousands and thousands of dollars to learn a lot about myself? Yeah. Do I regret it? Absolutely not. I'll never regret it. Because it's like, those are the things that have made me into who I am now. And I'm thankful for that. I have been able to create some amazing connections through the experiences that, and through the things I've learned through those experiences. So it's all like, it all falls into place eventually. I wish, you know, because it's like, I don't want to see other people have to go through those experiences necessarily to get to this point. I don't know that that's like, everybody's going to be on their journey, but again, I think the landscape of education has just changed so much over the last few years that I do think there are so many other opportunities for you to learn and to become amazing at what you do. The barrier to entry, I feel like, has lowered with a lot of the individual educators or the smaller education companies. It's mm-hmm. not this like mm-hmm. monster brand that you have to spend a bajillion dollars to, mm-hmm. you know, learn the thing. So it gives me so much hope. The stylists that I just really feel for are the ones that are on that edge of teetering of like, I know I'm unhappy here. I don't necessarily know why, but I'm not fully convinced that I'll be okay without the brand. Those are the stylists that my heart goes out to, because I'm like, I've been there and I know how hard that is. And then I know what's, when you decide, if you decide to take that leap and hey, I'm done with this. This, again, has served me. Thank you. Bye-bye. I know psychologically and mentally how hard that is on the other side of it, at least how it was for me. And hopefully maybe it won't be for them, but I just have so much empathy for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I trust me. I feel that very, I've celebrated a purchased lie so many times that, you know, it's, I guess it was fun to celebrate, but you know, it was like, you always kind of know too, like, this might be not what I think it is. And also, to end on a positive note, I'd like to remind people, because I found a lot of power in this once I really started focusing on it, to remember a stylist. Let's remember how like fun and stylish and charismatic and loving that we are with our clients. Like sometimes it's important to get out of our head when we're with our clients and like put your stylist hat on and be, even if you're at, like, it's kind of like if you got an acting role or if you're in a movie, like be the stylist that is everything to that client. Like that is what you're there for. That is, to me, most of the job. Like these companies have overcomplicated the service of extensions to a certain point, because it's like, it's not fucking, we don't work at NASA.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like we're not building diesel engines. Like we're, you know, this is a mid-level, like it's hard as far as like in the, I guess the hair world, but it's like, it's very doable, ladies. Like don't overcomplicate it, but do remember like how, or why your clients love you. Like my clients love me because I'm like goofy and fun and a good listener and, you know, a good conversationalist and a mom that's very relatable and a wife that's very relatable. Like remember those parts of you that are like truly the cool girl that you're trying to have a brand make you be, but like you already are the cool girl if they chose you. Like
totally. Yes, 100%.
Like that's what, when I go to get services, like I go to Sammy, it's not convenience, it's not price, it's not any of these things. Like I could find people close to me, I could find people cheaper, I could find all these things. Like I go to Sammy because she does a great job at my hair, and other people closer to me, other people, I don't know, like, you know, other people could do that, but like I go to Sammy because I freaking love Sammy, and Sammy's fun, and like we have good talks, and like she knows things about me, but she isn't awkward about pressing me about that. You know what I mean? It's like, pay attention to conversations, read people. Don't, you know, like pay attention to their body language and just read the room with your clients. And if they need a quiet appointment, like have a chill, quiet appointment. Like these are the people that are paying you money.
Totally. Totally.
I feel like that's a lost art that I'm really just like, that's not emphasized enough. So you, most stylists already have that power, you know?
Yeah. Yes, they do. We've said it a million times, right? Like you're inadvertently already cool because you're a hairstylist. Like clients, people think that's like one of the coolest jobs ever. You just automatically have this like cool factor. You were the original beauty influencer, right? So, and it's like, I think brands have come in and been like, oh, like, well, I can take that to another level for you kind of thing.
Like maybe, you need to be even more successful, you know?
Totally. Where like to your clients, you already are all of those things. And at the end of the day, that's who matters.
It's that, so true.
That client relationship with, you know, the client stylist relationship.
Yeah, because they are sitting in our chair and like, it's the ultimate like cool girl appointment, because they're like, your outfit's cute, your hair's cute, your lashes are cute, your nails are cute, are you spray tanning? What do you, you know what I mean? It's like they, totally. Like, and we are the resource for them. Like we are the library of cute. So like, it's, you know, just have access to pull out like those cards and be there for your client, because yeah, it's like, we forget that as stylists too, that like we really do. They're not coming to us because we're like, dorky. I mean, unless dorky is what you're into, and then be the dorky cool girl. But you know what I mean? It's like, dorky is such like a, I grew up in the 90s word.
It's totally a 90s word. That's hilarious.
I love it. But we're not like, we are, yeah, you're right. We are like already the cool girls in our own way.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, to give that power to somebody else. Silly.
It's so silly.
I had something else I was going to tell you, but I think it's gone.
Well, it's okay.
Yeah.
Write it down and we can talk about it next time.
Yeah. Oh, this is what I was going to say too. Like, don't forget to, I mean, just very quickly, like, don't forget to just like be an interesting person too. Like, we've all had periods in our career where like we come in, we're like, fuck, I have nothing to talk about because like I've been wrapped up in all the anxiety of whatever in my life, or like I've just not been doing anything interesting, or I'm not taking care of myself in the way I need to, so I'm depressed or whatever. Like, I think a part of our job is to also like just be an interesting human being. Like, if you don't have something, you know, like to bring to the table, just like talk about a TV show or something. Like, no, I don't think like our aesthetic is all that we have to offer as far as cool girl. It's like most stylists are pretty like cool people.
Totally.
So yeah, there's that.
I love that. Love this conversation.
We did it.
We did it.
Next episode, we'll talk about what we were supposed to talk about this episode.
I feel like it kind of ties in a little bit.
It does, but we could expand upon it more, I feel like, and it is a separate thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That sounds great.
Yeah.
So we'll hop off this and then we'll coordinate when we want to record that.
Perfect. I will, I'll edit to make sure there's as little like weirdness when our calls got dropped as possible. And
perfect.
Yeah, we love you guys.
Love you so much. Thank you so much for listening.
Happy New Year. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. You know, man.